The golden rule says you should treat others the way you want to be treated. But an unfortunate truth is that idea doesn't account for the driving power of wanting to prove someone wrong or get even. Media moguls Vince McMahon and Ted Turner turned the 90s cable airwaves into an open war zone of professional wrestling with millions of fans. The global superpowers of the 20th century even threw down to be the first to send a man to the moon, just as a flex. There are stories where people crash and burn in perceived mutual hatred, too. Like naturalist Charles Waterton humiliating himself trying to bring down American birding icon James Audubon. But that's the beauty of beef. It's funny, it's dark, it's humanity in a nutshell. And it's a triple gold signal award-winning show from Next Chapter Podcasts. I'm Bridget Todd. Join me as I serve up the juiciest rivalries you've never heard of. Listen to Beef wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
How was Italy?
I mean, Italy was, it started off with a bang in a bad way. And then other than that, it was beautiful.
You're making all these pauses instead of just giving a very straight answer. Could it be that you know that I'm one of the many people who saw your Instagram story where you were in Italy and claimed to have been hungover from drinking Long Island iced teas?
Okay, this is the thing. I had one Long Island iced tea as a joke, and every single person that saw that was up in arms and having a mental breakdown about it. And I was not having a mental breakdown.
What was it, because you're a grown man and you drank a Long Island iced tea?
Maybe, but like, I thought I was this is the thing. Everyone's always like, you're so uptight. Don't be like, you should be spontaneous. Like, you should be like fun. Like, you should do like fun. Like, why don't you just want to like go and like be fun and like be crazy? That was me doing that. And everyone was so upset about it.
It was a backfire. Like, it was an international incident. You drinking Long Island iced teas.
I'm serious though. About 25 separate people messaged me off of like I opened my phone the next morning after I had posted that, and I'm serious. I had 25 messages saying, "Why did you have a Long Island iced tea?"
To be honest, I think that means you don't have enough followers, because more people should have been responding to this.
Oh my God.
In your defense, people go to Italy for three things: the romance, the food, and the Long Island iced tea, obviously.
We're in Italy. I'm like, can we just like find a bar? Is there just a bar? And like, it doesn't exist.
It really doesn't. Like, not even, like, we know it.
Even
you're right.
The bar that we had, like, even the bar we went to was a sit down place where I was like, can I sit over here? And they're like, no, you must sit at this table. Like,
right.
It still wasn't a bar. And then they, but on the menu, it had Long Island iced tea. And we were in Florence. We were already drinking with our friends, the bride and the groom of the wedding that we were there for, and that was going to be happening days from then.
Long Island iced tea.
And yeah. We sat down, we had been drinking wine. We had been drinking this. We had been, you know what I mean? I had 17 Aperol spritzes. I had a bottle of wine. And so then when we saw Long Island iced tea, I was like, that's hilarious that they have a Long Island iced tea on this menu in this like nice, like very proper town in Italy. And so I was like, I'll get a nice tea, a Long Island iced tea if you will, like to the groom. And he was like, sure. We got them. We drank them. We had a great time. Wait, why are you so offended by me drinking a Long Island iced tea? Why is it?
Because
I'm opening up. I'm also opening this up to the world. Why is everyone offended that I drank a Long Island iced tea?
Because you are 74 years old.
Yes,
you are
correct.
A fully grown
man.
Adult human man or woman. I think I'm going to go genderless with the insult.
Okay.
A Long Island iced tea. This is, I mean, were you at a bachelorette party? Like, I just don't understand. Of those, that was the choice you made.
I might as well have been. I don't know what to tell you. I had been having good wine and like.
And you decided as a nightcap to have a cocktail that is literally all the clear liquors
motor
and
oil.
A splash of Coke.
Yeah, motor oil.
We were having such a good time. The wine was so good. So I thought what I would do is strip the lining of my colon off afterwards. Can I tell you this story about Long Island iced teas? I vividly remember the last time I had a Long Island iced tea. It was in July of 1991. I am not exaggerating. Were you born then yet?
I was 1 year old. Like if it was late July, I was 1 year old.
Oh my God. Let me tell you. So it was this summer. This is, you thought I was old now. The story's about to get much older than that. It was an intern in the press office for Governor Cuomo, Governor Mario Cuomo.
Jesus Christ on a cross.
He wasn't even on the cross then. He was alive still. He had yet to ascend the cross. So it was down in the Trade Center in the Twin Towers. The office was in 2 World Trade, RIP. And there was a TKTS booth in the base of the World Trade Center. You know the booth that's in Times Square? There's always a line wrapped around it. The one downtown, no one knew that it existed. So we would go down there at 10 o'clock like every day that summer and buy these half price tickets, great seats. And me and the other interns were able to afford these half price tickets. And we would go see all these Broadway shows and no tourists came down there. Well, one night.
So you were cleaning up. You were cleaning up. You were like going to see like the best theater that. Yeah.
Oh, I was Ethel fucking Merman the whole summer. I knew I knew what was playing at every theater. I knew all of it. Like we had seen everything. Yeah. The Tony Awards were like uninteresting to us because we'd seen even all the shit that wasn't nominated that year. So a fellow intern by the name of Stephen Lev was his name. He and I decided we would get tickets. So we go down and what's available that's affordable. The Grapes of Wrath. Okay.
Stop. Dominic.
Not a comedy. Not a comedy. The Long
Not
Island
remotely a comedy.
The Grapes of Wrath is an anti-comedy, actually. Like it literally removes your sex drive for 9 to 11 months. So we go to the seaport, the South Street seaport.
I have to stop.
Please.
Picturing you drinking an all Long Island iced tea so that you're mentally prepared to go to the Grapes of Wrath on Broadway.
It is so, I'm not only 20, I'm a dumb 20. Like it's so, but we were having such a good time. So we go to the seaport, which is all, and I picture with just saying the seaport, I just feel like I'm in the 80s or 90s. Do people drink at the seaport?
Yes,
anymore?
They still do.
No.
Do yes, they, Grandpa,
are they, all
they still go
bros?
There and drink.
Are they all collared shirt and like, are they those finance people?
Yeah, or like there's people that there is a big production company that you and I have both probably worked for before.
Yeah, we
that
don't like has
an that has an office down there that like I have gone out in that because of that there. It's to not just finance people. Yes.
All right. Anyway, back to my Long Island iced teas. So,
yes, so
Steve and Lev and I go to this bar, and we each had to have had 3 Long Island iced teas. Dear because God, that's God. When you drink Long Island iced tea, when you are just out of puberty, sort of lunatic person. That's when you're supposed to be drinking it. So we drink 3 and we're like, oh, we got to get on the subway to go uptown and see the Grapes of Wrath. Let's not be late. So we get up there. We hadn't even really looked at the tickets. We get there. The usher brings us, I kid you not, front row center at the Grapes of Wrath.
God, Dominic.
And we are wasted. We are wasted. So 2 very important bits of information about the Grapes of Wrath on Broadway. First of all, 3 important facts. Sorry. First of all, this production is starring Gary Sinise. He was Lieutenant Dan. He was Lieutenant Dan in Forrest Gump, but he hadn't yet been Lieutenant Dan. It was pre that. It was pre Lieutenant Dan, pre CSI New York, co-starring Gary Sinise, and I believe the unfathomably beautiful Melina Kanakaridis. So we go to the sit. We're in the front row center. There is full frontal male nudity in this production of The Grapes of Wrath on Broadway.
Oh my God.
And at the very edge of the stage, the proscenium, if you will, is a pool. They have dug a pool as part of the set, which is acting as the Mississippi River or the Missouri, whatever fucking river these grapes were wrathing on. That river was represented by an actual pool, which a fully frontally male nude person would be diving in. I cannot remember if the person who dove in the pool was Gary Sinise, but someone strips their clothes down and just goes, yeah, fully nude, was not expecting male nudity, and jumps into the lake, the fake lake or fake river that's at the proscenium. And we're in the front row. So not only am I being visually assaulted by this surprise, flaccid, flopping dick inches from my face, I am also now slightly wet from him jumping into the river, and it has splashed on the people in the front row.
No.
So at the top,
you were in the splash zone.
I'm drunk off Long Island iced teas, and possibly Gary Sinise and his wayward penis have splashed fake river water on me in the front row of this Broadway production. And at the top of my lungs, I just go, oh, oh, oh. I don't know what that noise was. But that is the fucking noise I made. It was like an ongoing, oh, oh, because it was like, first it was his dick, and then it was the water, and it was, there was so, and I was drunk on Long Island iced teas. It was insane. And then we just started laughing at the noise that I had made. The best part of the story is when the show is over, we walk outside, and we were very cool. So we were smoking cigarettes. And when we were smoking them, a woman came out of the theater and said to her male companion, did you hear that woman in the front row reacting to the nude scene?
So all those grapes
did wrath, girl.
They wrathed all over you. So all this when to say this,
the moral of the story is do not drink Long Island iced teas because you will not be able to, among other things, control your surprise at anything or certainly the volume of it.
The moral of the story is that you haven't changed one bit since 1991.
It's pathetic. It's truly pathetic. I think those Long Island iced teas actually arrested any further development in that moment. They probably stopped all mental growth. Because I would do that again now that I'm telling the story. It was a good time.
No, we should do
it. So I apologize earlier then. I apologize for coming at you. You should enjoy those fucking Long Island iced teas. And everyone else who told you you shouldn't should just fuck off. Will you go see the Grapes of Wrath with me?
Can you imagine if they were like, can you imagine if we get off this Zoom and like Rebecca Bregman sends us a New York Post article that's like the Grapes of Wrath is coming back to Broadway.
Or I'll just turn on 1010 Winds and they'll say the Grapes of Wrath is returning to Broadway. I first will faint and then I will call you.
Yes. And we're going to,
that would be fantastic.
I can't, that is so funny. That one, he was, and P.S. like, for people that don't know, aren't you either married to a woman or not out of the closet yet whenever this happens?
I am definitely not out of the closet at that point. I'm
when
not
you
even
see Gary Sinise's penis.
Not. Do you, are you accusing Gary Sinise of turning me gay?
No, I'm not at all. Not at all. But
because if anyone could do it, be that motherfucker, Gary Sinise.
Dominic, what a story. What a story.
Yeah, it's good Jesus to be Christ. Old. All you need it's is one good. Or two of those interesting things to happen a year. You're set at cocktail parties for life.
I think it's funny is that so many people could reach out to me and be like, long on the nasties, because I'm just that everyone knows that it's so out of character for me to do that. That there was, I think many people were just very concerned that I was like losing my mind.
It's a drink that no matter what the circumstance, it will elicit a reaction. Like, everyone, like people here, Long Island, I see they're either overjoyed or they're absolutely disgusted or both. Really. It's just, it elicits a reaction.
And I was blowing. Listen, the beginning of our trip was so harrowing that I needed to blow off.
Will
steam
you please?
I haven't even told. And the thing is, we were together all weekend and I didn't even tell you this story because I was saving it for right now.
What? This must be good. If it's saved for the pod good, I'm sure I'm going to need a fainting couch for this. Go on.
So we are flying on ITA Airways, ITA, which is like for Italy, like stands for Italy.
Never,
without the
never heard of that. Never
yeah,
heard
me
of that.
Either until now. And like we were on the wait list for a minute, even though we had bought a ticket, like question mark.
This wait, is just absolutely not.
Would not want to really fly them again just for that reason, even though our flights in general were fine, completely fine, and without a hitch we're good and weren't delayed 90 million years like everyone else.
Okay.
And we get to Rome, we get to our Airbnb. It is up 9 million flights of stairs, but it's in like the middle of the city. It's in the perfect location. We're like right by the Pantheon, we're right by the Colosseum, we're right by all this stuff, like walking distance from everything we
choice
want
choice location, of course.
Yeah, it was a great location. It was like an attic room, which we knew it was, and we were fine with that because we were like, we're only going to be here for like a day and a half, so it's no big deal. We get up there, we get in there, the guy like lets us in. The air conditioning was like not turning on and we were like, okay, well, this is a problem. And they eventually like figure it out and they get it to work or whatever. So we like turn it on. We then like change our clothes and just leave for the whole day. So we basically are just like out. We're seeing stuff. We're going here. We're going there. We're going here. You know, we're doing all kinds of stuff, taking photos. We're at the Trevi Fountain. We're at you know what I mean? We're at the Pantheon.
Right.
We're having lunch. We then meet up with the bride and groom of the wedding that we're going to like later that week. We're having Aperol spritzes. We're laughing. Oh, we're having the best time. We come back to like change.
It sounds like
to
a travelogue so far. It sounds like the perfect vacation.
It basically was up until right now. So we go back upstairs and it's so hot because we're in the attic and it's like 90 degrees there. And the air conditioner had turned off. So we were like, that's weird that the air conditioner turned off, but like, let's turn it back on. We're quickly going to change, go to dinner and we'll come back home and then we'll go to sleep because we're so tired because we took a red eye. We go to dinner, we come back, the air's off again. We turn it back on. It's so hot in the Airbnb. And then we're like, okay, hopefully it'll cool down. Let's like get ready for bed. And like, as we're getting ready for bed, we see that after like 30 minutes, it just turns off by itself. And this light that says timer starts blinking red.
Which was
unclear. Still don't know.
I just don't.
There's a timer to turn off after 30 minutes, apparently. Who knows?
I don't remember who said it, but there is a saying. Don't go in an attic in Europe. That's like an actual saying, I'm pretty sure, really? Isn't it? It should be, shouldn't it? So I'm in Europe and I go up to this attic. So if that's attic, the opener of a story, what happens after that? I mean, we all know it's terror after that.
No,
so I'm in
this
attic in this unnamed European country, .. The end. It's over after that.
So long story long, we can't get it to turn the air conditioning to turn on for like more than 30 minutes, no matter what we do. And you have to like reset the whole system to get it to turn back on after it's gone into this timer phase. And it is not just like, oh, it's uncomfortably hot. It is boiling hot in this room. We're out of our minds. I messaged the Airbnb guy. It's now like midnight, so he's not saying shit to me. You know what I mean? The Airbnb guy's nowhere. I call Airbnb. I'm like, I need to get out of this room. It's not okay. They basically are like, let us try to find. I'm like, I need to go to a hotel. Like, I can't sleep here. Like, it's now 1 a.m. and it's so hot. And like, I'm like,
I have to interject. Who at this point is in a worse mood? You or Hassan?
Me, 100%.
Okay. I actually don't even know why I ask that, because to know Hassan is to know you would absolutely be in a worse mood.
Yeah,
probably under any circumstance, I would guess.
Yep. Yes. You are correct. So we're like calling Airbnb. I'm on the phone with Airbnb. And from listening to Michelle Collins every morning, she has said many a time her Airbnb trick is that if it is bad and you don't want to stay in the Airbnb and you want your money back, you can't stay there during the night. Like, if you stay there for a night, it's way less of a chance that they're going to refund you any money. And I was like, I want to leave. I kept saying, I want to leave. I don't want to be here. I want to leave. Like, I need another option to like go to, because it's too hot. We can't sleep here. It's like not. And I'm like, I no longer feel safe. I don't want to be here. They basically can't. What are these people going to, what? They're going to find me another Airbnb at 1 o'clock in the morning in Rome? No, they're not. So we start calling every hotel that we possibly can. And they're like, do you have a room right now? We're in an Airbnb. We can't stay here. We need to leave. Like, everywhere is booked up. Like, every single place okay. that we have.
Well, it is summer. Yeah. For yes. summer. Yeah.
It was a busy time. Like, we eventually call American Express, and American Express is like, trying to find this hotel. And then when they search like the parameters for like Rome at these dates, it's like,
right.
The woman goes, I've never seen this before, but it literally just says there are no answers. Like, it says like there are no results. She's like, I've never seen this before in my life. This is a woman from like American Express, like gold card travel. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're pulling out the big guns at this point.
I actually thought that you were going to say American Express saved you, and that we were going to announce that today's episode was sponsored by American Express. But how dare you, American Express? How dare you?
So I see where you're going. So then I pull out my Chase Sapphire Reserve card.
Here we go.
And we call Chase. And our savior on the other end of the line, whose name was Nostalgia.
Pause. Stop. Ooh, thank you, God. Thank you.
I'm just letting that happen.
I don't know. I can't breathe. For those of you listening at home, I was unconscious for 11 minutes after hearing that this person's name was Nostalgia. We've edited it together. Go on.
Know that, like, obviously, if I ever meet anyone named Nostalgia, I'm assuming it is this woman, and I will give her every single dollar I have whenever I meet her, because not only was she hilarious, but also was the one that saved us. And so I owe her everything that I've ever owned. Nostalgia hooks it up. She put me at this really nice hotel. She was like, you guys have so many Chase Sapphire Reserve points because I use our Chase Sapphire Reserve card for absolutely everything. So we have like hundreds of thousands of points that I have not cashed in on. And so she's like, oh yeah, you have like so many points. Like, I'm just going to use your points to like get you a hotel room. And I was like, okay, like here's where we're staying. This is our like address. And she was like, okay, there's a hotel in the piazza that it holds the Pantheon. It's like 30,000 points. Do you want to do it tomorrow night? Like, and I was like, absolutely, Nostalgia. Like, hook it up. And she they couldn't find anything for us that night, so we did have to stay in the Airbnb. But then like at 7 a.m. when I tell you, we did not sleep a wink. I slept for maybe 45 minutes, I'm serious, the whole night.
Oh my God.
And we had been on a red eye, so like I had already not slept, and I slept for 45 minutes. And at 7 a.m like the minute that we like we're like, this hotel will have someone at the front desk, we ran out of that Airbnb as if we were fleeing war.
I was like crying. We were like, we were so exhausted and tired and couldn't, and the, like, we're just so upset. And we went to this hotel. The door opens. This woman who is absolutely the most beautiful person I've ever laid eyes on, who should be
really?
A model. And not be the woman that works at the front desk of a hotel in the near the Pantheon. She was.
But that's actually what I do want a woman who's working in that area to look like. I want her to be some sort of Gina Lola Brigid a moment. You don't know
she
who that
was,
is, do you? Just keep talking.
I don't, but she God, was gorgeous me. And had like beautiful arms. Like she was great. And then like basically Stanley Tucci was like her cohort. And the two of them were like a comedy. Like that was a sitcom waiting to happen. Like the two of them like running the hotel. And they saw us and I was like, hi, you would have thought I was like shot in the face. I was like, hi, like we had a horrible night. can we just leave our bags here? I know we can't check in until 2, but like, can we just leave our bags here? And they were like, yes, like stop crying.
Oh no. You must have looked like Tina Turner showing up at that Ramada Inn and What's Love Got to Do with It. My name is Chris DeRosa. I have 39 lira to my name. And if you don't take my bags, I'm going to set this Airbnb on fire.
I literally said, like, please tell me you have a reservation for us. She was like, yes, like, stop yelling at me. And they couldn't have been nicer. They were so nice to us. And then, like, from there, our trip was absolutely stellar. And but the first night
yay.
Was rocky.
Thank God it was the first night, and so it didn't ruin the trip.
Yeah.
Wait, were you guys, you weren't alone the whole time though, right? Were you just alone that first night?
The two of us were basically alone, but then when we got there, we found out that the bride and the groom had basically the exact same travel itinerary that we did. Like 2 nights in Rome, 2 nights in Florence. Then we were all going to the castle that they were getting married in. So like we like basically became like the four of us were all going on vacation together, but we did not plan it that way. It just happened to be that.
All right.
Which was really nice because we got to like spend time with them before it was like their wedding with like every single member of their family there as well. You know what I mean?
Who were you drinking the Long Island iced teas with then on the night in question to go to throw back to what we were talking about earlier?
The groom.
The groom was the person drinking the Long Island iced teas.
Yes. And we don't regret
Interesting. It. Okay. Well, you shouldn't. You shouldn't really. I know I poo-pooed it in the beginning, but after remembering my Long Island iced tea days, I do remember them fondly, at least. I just wouldn't repeat it.
Did you, like, never drink a Long Island iced tea again because you got water splashed on you, like Shamu?
I just caught it. Well, first of all, that couldn't have been more of a fat joke. There are smaller fish than Shamu. You could have called me Flounder or Nemo, but you went full.
I'm saying that Shamu
you went
splashed
full,
you.
The, literally, the Kirstie were Alley of the seas, Shamu. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you.
The splash zone is from SeaWorld.
I know. It's we're not body shaming, but okay, anyway, goddamn continue. Her, Kirstie Alley. R.I.P. So, yeah, crazy I just you. Woke up the next day thinking to myself, God, that was a horrible idea. Like, I just didn't feel well. That might have been the first time I was ever hungover. Because, you know, when you're young, you can't. It's almost like you feel like you can't get hungover because your body is still metabolizing so quickly.
Don't you miss that so much?
That I miss for sure. I don't care how much of an alcoholic I sound like. I will never not miss being able to drink whatever you want and then waking up as though all you had was milk the night before. That's a perk of youth. But I think that was the first time I'd ever been hungover, and I was like, maybe Long Island iced tea isn't a good idea.
I mean, it's not. It's not never a good idea. However, did I do it? Yes. Was I drunk when I made that decision? Yes. So, like, people have done worse things, you know?
Yeah, I'm not accusing you of murder, but I, like everyone who knows you well, when you mention that you drank a Long Island iced
like
tea,
having a mental breakdown.
I'm not exaggerating. I said out loud, excuse me. I stopped what I was doing and I sat down to make sure I was reading it properly.
That you weren't having
that
a stroke.
That Chris DeRosa just had a Long Island iced right. That I wasn't having some sort of stroke that on Instagram would hashtag a Long Island iced tea, that version of a TIA. It was shocking in the moment. If you have any great Long Island iced tea stories, will you please message,
send them to us,
the Fixing Famous People Instagram page, because I don't know that I'm ready to let Long Island iced tea gate go, actually. And I don't think many of Chris's friends are yet either.
Maybe that needs to be like our signature cocktail of the summer. A Long Island iced tea.
A Long Island. Only if we could make eggnog the official winter cocktail, because that's just as horrific, and I do love eggnog.
Well, an L-I-T. Okay, hold on. Hold it right on.
Oh God, there she's in the stratosphere. Watch out.
An L-I-T. L-I-T are three letters that are in smack dab in the middle of our favorite word. So how do we...
Literally.
How do we... make that a thing. All right, I'm thinking. I'm just writing that down for later. How does that become a thing? The clitorally T, something like that? Question mark. We'll have to have a think on it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's a great idea, though.
It's a great idea.
It is a great idea. We're gonna sell Long Island iced tea mix. Clitorally Long Island iced tea mix.
Clitorally Long Island iced tea mix.
What's the mix? There's nothing.
Come up with a trashier way to make money. Hi, buy the Clitorally Long Island iced tea with the L I C and T all capitalized, so you know that the word clit is in there. I hope that this is the most elegant podcast you all listen to today. I really do. Can we move on quickly to something else? Are you up to speed on former mayor Bill de Blasio's marriage? Divorce. Have you heard about this?
Wait, I saw a headline, but that's it. Tell me what happened.
I am gobsmacked. He has announced former New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio and his wife, Shirlene McRae, the former First Lady of New York City, have announced that. I know Chris loves when I read it like a news anchor, so I'm doing that on purpose. I'm actually trying to make it as long as possible.
I actually do like it.
I don't think that you do. I think you're making that up.
No, I do, especially this. This isn't if you were going to say Jonah Hill's text messages, I would have said, everyone knows. But this is not something everyone knows.
Thank you, Chris. Former New York City Mayor William Jehovah de Blasio. No, Bill de Blasio and his goddamn wife, they've been married for 29 years. They are separating. They will be living together, dating other people, and not divorcing. And
they can't get divorced because the assets. Like that's years and years and years of money to like divide those assets up, right?
I think if you agree how they should be divided, it would go much quicker.
I don't know.
But, you know, real estate in Park Slope is hard to come by. So that's probably the reason they're not getting a divorce, so they can keep that townhouse together. So they can both use it to get laid. Hi, I own a townhouse in Park Slope. Want to see this bush? See, I kept it gender neutral there for you.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So wait, you were going to say something and
I'm as progressive as the de Blasios are. I think, in all honesty, without the aggression and verve of Andy Cohen, I do agree that Bill de Blasio is the worst mayor that New York City ever had. But this revelation about his relationship is maybe the best thing he's ever done. It's certainly the most successfully progressive thing he's ever done. I feel like he's explained it as well as a human being could. And I think that it is a relationship that not everyone has, but a lot of people wish they could have. And this sort of, you know, I'm very big on the, you know, on the queer community sort of moving everything forward relationship wise, because our relationships look different on the surface. And I think that they are different underneath as well, and in some cases more meaningful and definitely more varied. And I think a lot of people take cues from the queer community about how to structure their relationships. And Shirlene McRae, as luck would have it, is a member of the queer community. Now, I don't know how she identifies currently. I would assume it's bisexual, because before she and Bill de Blasio got married, she was gay. She was fully gay. She wrote, if I'm not mistaken, a college paper about her gayness, her lesbian, her lesbian niche, I believe is the term. Is it not lesbian niche?
I don't know.
It's not. But,
I mean, that's, wow.
It's a lot because I looped the queers into it like I always do. It's a lot.
It's a lot because you are right. It's like, oh, now straight people are doing this. And then it's also like, just be separate. Like, stop. I guess they have to. It has to be a news story. I'm like, who cares? Like, just do it. But it has to be a news story because when like Bill de Blasio was like banging some girl in like a bathroom of like God knows where, people are going to be like, what? And then it's going to be a whole thing. You know,
name the bar. You can't say God knows where. Name the bar. It's got to.
I don't know.
Pick a bar.
He's going to be at the Regency.
I want to know the bar.
He's
going to
be at the Regency. The Regency is where it always goes down.
Yes.
Now right, that's talking. Where he'll be, right?
What is she wearing? I'm just kidding. This is disgusting. No. I'm sorry. I'm having you do Bill de Blasio.
But audio porn. it's weird, but also it's like, I mean, like that's New York for you. Like this is like every conservative person is like, what a surprise. The fucking liberals. Like, do you know what I mean? Right.
He's going to bring home a dog and fuck him in the yard.
Oh God. No, it's strange. But like, what's the, like, no, cause well, they're not going to get
strange.
Divorced.
They've always been strange.
Yeah, no, you're right.
They've always been now strange. They've never seemed like a, I mean, you know, I'm not, but they never seemed like they even wanted to be together, not belong together, but just there seemed to be no desire there. Shirley
well, yeah,
McCray
she's
over
a lesbian
from day one.
Cause she doesn't like men. Like, that's why. I mean, it's clear as day. You said it at the beginning. It's clear as day. She's a lesbian and he's a man. That's the problem. Like 2 + 2 = 4, Dominic. I don't know what to tell you.
Shirlane, what did you like least about Bill? His dick, I probably.
Yeah, his him.
Didn't like his dick.
Oh my
and
God.
He was one. Anyway, it's just, I'm horrified they're back in the news. Remember when he ran for president and polled at 0%?
Yes.
That was a good day.
I did. Sadly, yes, I did. Speaking of men and women not getting along, I followed this person who says that they are a mindset and dating coach. Did I follow this person because he's very cute? Yes. Do I also like to follow these people that are like, that call themselves coaches so that I can listen to what they have to say about random topics and make fun of them? Yes.
Right. Okay.
Was this a perfect storm of those two things? Yes. So he posts this video. What?
This is one of your longer self interviews. I am curious to see in which direction it curves.
He posts this video he talks about how he was in a relationship with this girl and they were long distance, but they were like getting to know each other. And he said, I'm not fucking with this vibe right now. And he says he has reservations because she doesn't have a gym vibe, as in like to go to the gym, like to be like a gym rat.
Right.
And basically like she has a lot of things that he really wants, but she doesn't have the gym vibe. He keeps saying, I'm looking for a gym girl. I'm a gym guy. I'm looking for a gym girl, which I translate as like, you're fatter than I thought want you to be. Or like your body's not as toned as I want you to be.
Right. Well, and yeah, that's the assumption.
Yeah. And so basically keeps saying that he's like, I really want someone that's like goes to the gym a lot and like fitness is a big deal to them. And this girl doesn't. So like, I might have to break up with her is what this video is.
Right. He's saying essentially she's not in the shape that I need someone to be in.
Yes. And so I comment because I was like, this is fucking ridiculous.
Oh, no, my God.
Because they were like legitimately dating. And I say, if that's something that's super important to you, shouldn't you make that clear from the jump? Why is she just finding out about this now? This now currently at the time of recording has 68 likes.
Oh, my God. You are a superstar now.
He comments back. And he says, the biggest word salad I've ever read. You get ready for this one.
Oh boy. Hang on. Let me hear
it. It's hard to tell someone's habits at the beginning. Parenthesis. We have been like on and off long distance. She doesn't live here yet. End parenthesis. But I told her from the jump that I wasn't fully there, but I saw like her doing it here and there. So it's like this wait and see approach, if that makes sense. But now that it's on the table, we work on it or just move on. ... TBD.
That sounds like crystal meth. Like it didn't mean anything what he just said.
Is that answer like that? This is someone who gets paid. This is someone who gets paid to tell you how to date someone. And that's the answer that's given to me.
That's something worthy of a Yelp review.
It's the crazy. I mean, it's just crazy that people can call themselves whatever they want. And then that, like, something so simple as like, if you want someone who's a gym rat, you should say, I want a gym rat, rather than be like, I've been dating you for 3 months, but you don't go to the gym enough, so I'm breaking up with you.
After a careful 3 month inspection of your body and measurements taken while you were asleep, I have determined that you are
fat.
A hippopotamus. Please get out of my home.
Can you imagine? Like, but just seriously though, like, isn't that so fucked up?
It's terrible. What does he look like?
Oh, he's hot. No, he works out every day. That's like, fine. He is hot. It's kind of actually like, now that I'm thinking about it, it is like your rule of like, if I'm hot, I get to do whatever I want. Like, he's there. I mean, I'll show you him. I won't say what his Instagram handle is, but I will show you.
I want to see, because if he is as hot as you're saying, then she really should lose weight. Oh yeah, she's a pig. Absolutely not. No, he's worth every pound. Go for a run, dear. Go for a run. Down. Yeah. Obviously, I'm kidding. Save your tweets and threads. Is that going to be a phrase now? Tweets and threads?
Tweets and threads, or just threads. I mean, Twitter's crumbling, right?
Before our eyes.
Like, when is it going to go off? Like, when do we think it's going to, like, go bye-bye?
It doesn't even matter. The guy who owns it could write it off and still be a billionaire forever.
But still, I'm just saying, like, at what user base does it then turn off? Like, I'm ready to delete my Twitter today. I'm on Threads. Like, but then the minute I signed up for it, I was like, oh, why? This is why I hate Twitter, because I don't, like, want to have to think of something clever to say every time that I want to, like, put something on this app. Know what I mean?
Yeah, I haven't gone on Threads yet. Fixing Famous people should join Threads, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Maybe by the time this airs, we'll have a Threads account.
Maybe. We'll see.
How's that but for, like, for aggressive but again, marketing? Maybe you can find us here.
Wait, you know what we haven't even talked about? The fucking candles. We're horrible business people. I'm leaving this in. Goop is shaking. It's fuck Twitter. Goop is shaking in her fucking boots right now. Okay.
Oh, I bet.
Because guess what?
I bet she can't take it.
Two little fucking bitches came out with a candle that's literally better than anything she's fucking selling.
And she's going to have to, yeah, she's going to have to sell her Academy Award. I heard.
Her actual clitoris.
Because the clitorally candle is absolutely going to destroy her. It's absolutely going to bankrupt her whole empire.
People are buying them. People are loving them. People are posting. And people are enjoying. And if you haven't bought one yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. I don't know what you're waiting for if you haven't bought one.
I don't know why you haven't bought one yet, but if you have bought one, I don't know why you're pausing on posting it. Because the world needs to know that the clitorally candle is saving lives. And you hold that power. Because if you, the listeners, let everyone know how your life has been changed by the clitorally candle, and if more people buy them, then I can spend Christmas in Vienna. So please, if you would just buy as many candles as you can afford while still being able to educate your children, it feels like the right thing to do.
Every time someone buys a clitorally candle, one of Gwyneth Paltrow's hairs falls out of her head. And if you want to see that bitch bald by Christmas, you guys better fucking
buy a clitorally candle. Buy a clitorally candle. We should start a chant that hypnotizes people into buying them.
How do we do that?
Clitorally. This is the problem, because now we have this one product, this clitorally candle. And so Chris and I spent the weekend together, and I have a list. I will not read the list here because some of it will actually come to fruition. But every time we laughed at anything, we decided we were going to slap the word clitorally on it and sell it. It is some of the dumbest stuff that you have ever seen in your life. But
and Dominic would pretend to do like an odd, like a voice to text, putting it in a list, and then would have to then actually really type it on a list. Which was like a whole nother part.
We're going to be fixing Siri, by the way, in the coming weeks. And I want to make sure everyone listens to that episode, because that's who needs to be swapped out. Twitter versus Siri. I would vote for Twitter to stay and Siri to go away.
You get in a fight with Siri every day.
Multiple times. For stuff that I know isn't even Siri's fault. Like, I just refer to every function in the iPhone as something Siri is doing to me personally.
Well, like if she's ever going to be like, load,
if I have a bad signal and it takes 1 second for the weather to load, I'm like, wake up Siri, whatever misogynistic word I throw at her at that moment. All the time, the directions, if I'm given directions and they're bad, I automatically blame her by name while I'm driving.
When she becomes like that blue supercomputer that's like in the wall in iRobot, like in 2 years, like that controls the whole world and like wants to kill Will Smith, like you'll be the Will Smith, because she's going to be like, this piece of shit that fucking calls me a cunt every day is going to be the first human that I squash with my like army of robots. Like,
I wish she was a person. I really do wish that she was. That would be fantastic.
Well, be careful what you wish for, because she's like basically a person now.
Well, I don't want to take up too much of the time with Siri, but I did change my voice, the Siri's voice recently, to the British female version. And I've been much happier thinking that Helen Mirren is with me than this bitch Siri. I will tell you that. We have so much more to say about her. Sometime in July or August, we'll be airing a Siri episode.
We will be.
Who are we fixing today?
I don't think we have time to fix anyone. We've had to catch everyone. So much has happened. We didn't even talk about my car getting keyed. We didn't even talk about the fact that we saw the Scientologists at upstate near your house.
Oh my God, we did. We saw Scientologists. They were probably following us because we say we're Shelley on every episode.
Well,
and they erected a tent at the town that I live in upstate.
And when we walked by, you just turned to me and said 17 times, "Where's Shelly? Where's Shelly? Where's Shelly? Where's Shelly? Where is Shelly?"
You know that if they'd heard me, I would have been dead by now. They would have camped out in the driveway with Uzis.
They would have followed us. They just would have followed us home. They would have followed us home.
There's no doubt. There is literally no doubt that they would have ended our lives. They would have followed us back to my house and committed murder. We would have found out where Shelly was, because we would be
with her
where she is. Yes. Deep in the bowels of hell. You know what I really want to discuss is a friend of ours this weekend, Rebecca, gave me a guaranteed conversation starter at a party, which I'd never... You know, which I'd never really thought of before. I mean, we were sitting, a bunch of us, seven of us, were sitting at brunch in silence, only really because were we looking at our phones? Probably just, we all just, you know, it goes in waves where everyone at the tables just decided, oh, everyone's quiet, we'll check our mail. So we were all doing that. And then just out of nowhere, our friend Rebecca goes, "Is Sandra Bullock a lesbian?" And it really, we all put our phones away and had an actual discussion about it, as though we knew this woman.
Best thing ever.
Everyone took it seriously. And then at the end of what I thought was a meaty repartee about a total stranger's sexuality, your partner Hassan says, Sandra Bullock is from Bird Box, right? Which brought the conversation to a screeching halt. Because Bird Box was how Sandra Bullock became familiar to Hassan, not Speed 2 Cruise Control or the Academy Award winning Blind Side or any of the
Miss Congeniality,
like any of the millions of films that she's been in. No, and he knew her from Bird Box.
But the thing that's not even true, though, that's the thing, it's not even true because Speed is one of his mom's favorite movies. Like, he's seen Speed like 65 times. So the fact that he said Bird Box, it's extra crazy because it's like he knows where she's from and it's not Bird Box because he literally says to me every single day, one of my mom's favorite movies is Speed. We used to watch it all the time.
Well, you know, she looked a little different. I mean, Speed is what, like 30 years ago?
Yes, it was a long time ago.
Oh my God. Watch this. Let's see if she knows this. Hey Siri, what year was the movie Speed?
Here's what I found from fandom.com. Speed is a 1994 American action thriller film. Directed by Jan de Bont.
It's pronounced Jan de Bont. I knew it. I knew she'd fuck up. De Bont. Is she? She said some Long Island iced teas.
Yeah. Well, what a callback.
She is much more pleasant. Wait.
It was a lame callback. And what I wanted to say was, Jan de Bont. Oh, she must be from Long Island. But then I was like, wait a second. I already have a Long Island opening right here.
Jan de Bont.
Siri with the British accent is much more pleasant for when you get in a fight with her.
I know. She sounds like Adele, too. Listen, hey, Siri, what year was Speed 2 Cruise Control?
Here's an answer from Wikipedia. Speed 2 Cruise Control is a 1990s.
Hello. It's her.
She does not sound anything like Adele.
She sounds like Amy Winehouse. She does.
She doesn't.
She sounds like Camilla Parker Bowles. Stop. With a dick in her mouth.
Oh my God. I also just want everyone to know that I went to Dominic's house last weekend. We will end this show with audio of you, that video that I've chopped up 8 million times of you that you keep saying, I look terrible in this video. So we will just use the audio of it in this to lead us out of the podcast.
Right. When you're listening to the video, please know at the moment that I'm speaking it, I look like Ron Jeremy, elderly, unkempt, unclean porn star. Am I wrong though? If you ever show this video, I'll kill us both.
You don't. But when I was at his house, I came into the room that he records this podcast in, and I just need everyone to know that above the computer that he sits at, there is a probably 4 foot by 3 foot humongous blown up portrait of Dominic meeting Cher at like a Hillary Clinton rally or something like that, like fundraiser event
that you
spent like a lot of money to like meet Cher.
$2,500 donation to the I'm with her Hillary Clinton presidential campaign. And I met Cher on Fire Island in the Pines. It was a glorious 11 seconds that I got to stand there before someone dragged me away from Cher and said, next faggot, please.
what did you say to her? Anything? Did you dare even speak?
I did.
Do you even remember, or were you blacked out whenever the
thing? No, I told her about, this is the truth. And I've written this online before. I was going to tell a joke, but I, as quickly as I could, told her about how much Fire Island meant to me, which it did at the time. This was a couple of years ago when I used to go out there regularly, and how much it meant to me. And that was where I ran out there right after I came out and fell in love with it and blah, blah, blah. And she said, well, it sounds like a very special place. I don't know why I just made her sound like Jessica Tandy in Driving Miss Daisy, because she doesn't actually sound like that. But she said, well, it sounds like a very special place. And then they said, look here. And we did. And they took the picture. And that was it.
Okay. I mean, there's more stories to tell. I didn't even tell you about my car getting keyed. I think I'm going to have to save that for another episode. We don't even have the time to fix anyone because I just needed to catch up with my friend for all the world to hear.
I know. And we spent the last three days together and he couldn't wait to catch up with me. This is what you call acute double narcissism is what you're listening to right now.
It's funny because you kept looking at me when I was at your house and you kept saying, I can't believe you're actually here, as in like not in a computer talking to you.
Right.
Like we were having a real conversation in real life and you were like, we were both like in awe of it because we usually talk on here and never actually sit in the same room together.
Like people are so astonished who love the podcast. They're like, well, how long have you guys been friends? I'm like, well, we've met a couple of times, but really we've only been friends for like 6 or 7 months. And we've only been in a room together, maybe less than 10 times.
10 times. Yeah.
And people are so utterly stunned by that. We've not been in a room together more than 10 times.
I don't think we can say that anymore, though, because I've like literally slept at your home. Like, you know what I mean? Now it's like,
well,
that's
now,
no
but
longer.
Before that, yeah. But yeah. This podcast was born betwixt two people who at the time had probably only been in a room together maybe 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Really, before we started doing it. But we just knew instantly. You're like, we should do this podcast. I said, let's do it. And then you sent me all the things on Amazon to buy. And I'm talking into them right now, and I don't know how to use them at all without a weekly tutorial. Press this
and now
button,
we're
Grandpa.
Now we're selling candles that say clitorally on them, and you can buy one at Wax Cabin Candle Company. We've partied too much. You're gonna hear us partying in this audio that I'm about to drop as we exit the episode, but please go buy the clitorally candle. Please post about it, tell your friends, send one as a gift. We're having so much fun just like seeing all you guys buy them, and it's really, really fun. And it's a great candle, so you should really buy one.
And next week we're going to return to our regular format, and we will be fixing Jonah Hill. We've never really done a preview before, but we don't know an individual who needs fixing more than him currently. So we're going to tackle his ass next week.
I hope you guys thought this was funny, at least, ? Dominic, where can people find you?
You can find me at my website, dominterry.com, which links to all my socials at Dominic Pupa.
You can find me at The Krista Rosa. Please rate and review the show and write in your review who you want us to fix. Please follow the show at Fixing Famous People and go buy a candle and have a great day, everyone. We'll see you guys next time. And as always, where's Shelly? And yes, we really did like almost confront the Scientologists in Dom's town. And I think we should just do like an investigative podcast about them. Anyway, here's Dominic drunk on a boat. Bye.
Tell everyone what the name of your boat is.
Naughty Decision. N-A-U-T-I. And yes, I did say U-T-I. I bit my tongue when I said that. I bit my fucking tongue. Yes, naughty decision.
Are we going to get a DUI?
N-A-U-T-I.